This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستهديه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما ثم أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله جل وعلا وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وإن شر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار أجارني الله وإياكم من النار. My brothers, my sisters in Islam, all praise and thanks belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And may the peace and blessing of Allah be upon His servant and final messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. My brothers and sisters in Islam, there is no doubt that we are living tough and difficult days, very dangerous days to our iman and our relationship with Allah azza wa jal. There is no doubt in this. The fitan are increasing day by day, hour by hour, and many are becoming confused about their iman, their relationship with Allah, about their stance, and how they're supposed to respond to certain fitan that are arising. And this is not special, and this is not something strange. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the authentic ahadith, he mentioned this reality. As in the hadith of Anas ibn Malik radiyallahu anhu, he says that as time goes by, the fitan become more and more. So the fitan, the trials and the difficulties of today are much more than 10 years ago. And what they will be 10 years from now will be much more than what we are experiencing today. These fitan are many. Drugs, alcohol, murder, the LGBT community and their propaganda and their agenda and their evil planning and plotting against us and against our children. This is one of the major fitan that we are seeing in today's day and age. And the believer has to have knowledge in terms of how is he going to respond to this? And how is he going to stand strong against this? And how does he respond to these matters? How does he protect himself and how does he protect his children against al-fitan? And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said that تُعْرَضُ الْفِتَنُ عَلَى الْقُلُوبِ عُودًا عُودًا, that the fitan, they would present to a person's heart like straw mats. You know, a mat and their straws, you see how close they are to each other? This implies the speed of these fitan. They come one after each other and they are presented on the heart of the believer. So all of a sudden you wake up and you hear of a huge fitna. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, فَأَيَّمَا قَلْبٍ أُشْرِبَهَا نُكِتَتْ فِيهِ نُكْتَةً سَوْدَاءً. Any heart who absorbs this fitna and engages with it and deals with it and accepts it into his life, then a black dot will be inscribed in his heart. And any believer who sees it and recognizes it as a fitna and he rejects it, and he condemns it, and he runs away from it, نُكِتَتْ فِي قَلْبِهِ نُكْتَةٌ بَيْضَاءٌ. He earns a white dot in his heart. Until the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, حَتَّى تَصِيرَ الْقُلُوبُ عَلَىٰ قَلْبَيْنِ. Then society at large becomes people of two types. The hearts become of two types. قَلْبٌ أَبْيَضُ مِثْلَ الصَّفَىٰ لَا تَضُرُّهُ فِتْنَةٌ مَا دَامَتِ السَّمَاوَاتُ وَالْأَرْضِ. A white, crystal, polished heart. Such a heart will never ever be affected by any fitna that comes later on. Hit me with any fitna. And the person has strong iman to reject anything. But the other heart that engaged with the fitan and did not run away from them and did not know how to respond to them, what happens to his heart? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, قَلْبٌ آخر مُرْبَدًّا كَالْكُوزِ مُجَخِّيًا. It becomes like a vessel that is upside down. The heart becomes like a vessel that's upside down. What does that mean? You know, if there's a vessel that's upside down, can you put anything in it? You can't pour water in it. So the idea is that this heart becomes so blackened and hard that even if you tried to fill it with goodness, there's no space for it. It rejects any kind of goodness. That's when the heart becomes dead. How does the heart die? When it engages with these fitan and it accepts it into its life. Then the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the sign of this upside down vessel, لَا يَعْرِفُ مَعْرُوفًا وَلَا يُنْكِرُ مُنْكَرًا إِلَّا مَا أُشْرِبَ مِنْ هَوَاهُ. The sign of this heart that has become upside down and dead is that he will no longer be able to recognize a fitna, and he will no longer be able to recognize the good for what it is, and he will no longer be able to recognize the bad and the evil for what it is. إِلَّا مَا أُشْرِبَ مِنْ هَوَاهُ. Except whatever suits his desire. So that means if something that Allah loves, he loves it. He only loved it not because Allah loves it. He loved it because his desire was to love it. And if there's something evil that Allah condemns, he won't condemn it because Allah hates it. He'll condemn it because his desire says, condemn it. There's no goodness in it. That's a very dangerous state. We don't want to reach there. We need to understand that the enemy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a huge agenda and a plot against mankind, especially against the Muslim. What is that? You know what it is? You need to know. What is the greatest agenda and the biggest evil planning and plotting of the disbeliever, of the enemy of Allah against the believers, against those who say, La ilaha illallah. Allah mentioned in the Quran. He said, وَلَا يَزَالُونَ يُقَاتِلُونَكُمْ حَتَّى يَرُدُّوكُمْ عَنْ دِينِكُمْ إِنِ اسْتَطَاعُوا. Allah Azza wa Jalla, he says that they will continue. La yazalun, meaning they will continue to fight you. Fighting here is not limited to weapons. They will fight you with their ideology, their belief, their propaganda, whatever it is. Why? Why are they doing this? Hatta yaruddukum an dinikum in istata'u. So that they may let you apostate from your religion, turn your back from your deen, abandon your Islam. If they are able to do so. This is what they want. This is the plan. Allah Azza wa Jal warns us. وَمَنْ يَرْتَدِدْ مِنْكُمْ عَنْ دِينِهِ فَيَمُتْ وَهُوَ كَافِرٌ فَأُولَٰئِكَ حَبِطَتْ أَعْمَالُهُمْ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْخَاسِرُونَ. Anyone who gives into this plan and turns away from his deen and dies a disbeliever, such people, all their deeds will be shattered and destroyed on the day of judgment. And such are the losers. They end up in the hellfire forever. We need to recognize. I want to tell you something. One of these greatest fitan that we are seeing and observing right now, and I say this because I've been in Australia for a month and I'm leaving soon. And I went from masjid to masjid. I was in Melbourne for a couple of days as well. And almost every masjid and every community I met, they bring up the discussion of this rainbow colored community, the LGB community. What do we do? I have children at home. You know, the propaganda is spreading. Children books, it's in schools, it's everywhere, it's on the bus, it's on the news, it's even in your app store. If you open your app store, the feature page at the very beginning, there are apps you can download in where you can absorb this type of material. It's trying to become normalized in society. Shove down your throat. You must accept it, right? And this is bombarded every single day. And the believer's getting tired. What do we do? This is too much. Should I do hijrah? Should I leave the country? Where do I go? Should I homeschool my children? Should I bring them out? And there's a lot of chaos. First and foremost, we need to understand, who are these people? What are they doing? They've called themselves rainbow. This is the description they've given themselves. And this is very dangerous because this is how they sell you their product. They make it colorful and they decorate it. And that's exactly the plan and the plot of a shaitan. Allah Azza wa Jalla, he said, وَزَيَّنَ لَهُمُ الشَّيْطَانُ أَعْمَالَهُمْ. A shaitan doesn't present the haram to you as it is, raw as haram. No one will accept it because it looks disgusting and dirty, the haram. But he's got to decorate it. That's what the shaitan has to do. And he's been doing that from day one when he was in paradise with Adam alayhi salam. Allah Azza wa Jal said to Adam, لَا تَقْرَبَ هَذِهِ الشَّجَرَةِ. Do not come near this forbidden tree. Don't eat anything from it. You know what? How did Adam, our father, end up eating from the forbidden tree? How? You know how? Shaitan decorated it for him. How? He said to him, Adam, هَلْ أَدُلُّكَ عَلَى شَجَرَةِ الْخُلْدِ. Should I direct you to the eternal tree? That if you ate from it, تَكُونَ مَلَكَيْنِ أَوْ تَكُونَ مِنَ الْخَالِدِينَ. Hey, if you and your wife eat from this tree, you're going to become two angels in the paradise. Malakain. أو تكونا من الخالدين. And you're going to be in here forever and ever. Allahu Akbar. Well, it's a forbidden tree. But look how he decorated it. He called it Shajarat al-Khuld. Shaitan hasn't stopped his game. He hasn't. Like alcohol, it's called spirits. This is, he's decorated the deed. So now, spirit, meaning if I'm down, drink an alcohol and your spirit will be lifted. Drugs, it's called ice, speed, ecstasy. Ecstasy means happiness. How has a satanic name, drugs, turned into a name of goodness? Ecstasy, right? A shaitan, this is his ways. You know, there's a special swimwear for women. They call it burkini. Burkini. The first part of it comes from the word burqa', which is an Islamic modest clothing. And the next word is bikini, which is a satanic word that refers to nakedness and shamelessness. Look what the shaitan did. He was good at deceiving the people. He brought this name and called it bikini. It's like it's got an Islamic paint to it. The reality of it is, as the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, kasiyat ariyat. Kasiyat meaning clothed. From top to bottom, yes, because this bikini covers the head, it covers the neck, it covers the hands, it covers everything. But then the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, "Ariyat." In reality, it is nakedness. And such people, the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam spoke about them. And that these are a people that are in the hellfire. As the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, so it's a major sin. How has a shaitan fooled mankind? For women to believe that this is an Islamic work. Has been sold as Islamic and modest way. Shaitan, a shaitan. Come to homosexuality now. And how is it presented today in the world? Rainbows, colors. A love is love. That's how it's presented. But come to the reality of the Quran. What does Allah call it? He doesn't call it homosexuality because that's a sexual orientation. What does He call it? أتأتون الفاحشة ما سبقكم بها من أحد من العالمين. It's called الفاحشة. The shameless, immoral, vulgar, lewd act. That's what it's called. That's the real name. So that's the first thing we need to know. We need to identify this fitna and strip it from its rainbow colors. So we need to strip it. We need to unpeel it from its decoration and its design. So we can see its filthiness and dirtiness. It's called al-fahisha. Allahu Akbar. You know az-zina? Az-zina, which is a man and woman that don't have a marriage contract and sleep with each other. That in the Quran is called fahishatan. Fahishatan, which means shameless evil act. But homosexuality is called al-fahisha. There's alif lam. Alif lam means the shameless act. The lewd act, the vulgar act, meaning all the meanings of shamelessness are in this community. All the meanings of vulgarity are in this community and what they do. Because end of the day, az-zina, even though it is a horrible crime, but at the end of the day, it's something that happens. Az-zina, what's the difference between az-zina and a correct marriage? The only difference is the contract, that's all. One said, I accept you through the word of Allah Azza wa Jal, and the wali accepts, and that's a marriage. And the other two decided to skip that process. But at the end of the day, it's something natural. But this was a sin because that process of Allah Azza wa Jal witnessing the marriage has been skipped. But this homosexuality is not. Allah calls it al-fahisha. Then that's the first thing we need to recognize. We need to unpeel the decoration, unpeel the rainbow. And these colors, we call them deceitful rainbow colors. They're a deceit. They are not real. They're not true. This is a shaytan's coloring of this deed. My brothers and sisters in Islam, don't fear. Don't have fear in your heart at all. We, in fact, have been law-abiding citizens. We are not the ones that are backwards. No, because that's what they want you to make out of yourself, that you're the one that's backwards. You're not accepting them. How dare you? How come you haven't integrated and accepted this society and this community? They're the victims. They're the poor ones. They're the ones that are being bashed. They're the ones that are being abused and mocked and insulted, right? And people feel this way. So people are scared. We shouldn't talk anymore. I tell you something. Let's look into history to see where did this come from, so we can see really, really who's the victim and who's the criminal. You know this LGBT, from when Allah created the creation all the way until 1969, this was a shameless deed morally, politically, socially, on any front you wanted to see it, it was condemned and it was punishable. It was a crime punished by the state, by the law, wherever you were around the world. But in 1969, specifically in June, this is why June is Pride Month. Understand? Listen. Something happened. A huge event happened. And this is the event that is labeled in the books of history as the one singular event that brought about the greatest gay rights liberation movement. This is where they started. What happened on that day? Specifically on the 28th of June, 1969, in Manhattan, New York, on Christopher Street, there was a club, a gay club there. It's called Stonewall Inn. That's the club. The patrons would go in and practice their act in there. And the mafia used to pay the police to turn a blind eye and not come there. So one day, the mafia did not pay, and the police came to do their check, because homosexuality was a crime against the law. They came in, they seen these patrons, they cross-checked them in the bathroom to see whoever's wearing like a woman, but he's a male, yallah, to prison, fines and so on. It's a crime. Until the people, the patrons that were in this club at that moment were supported by other gay men that came and stood outside and began to scream, gay power, we shall overcome and so on. Then they managed to come out, the people, and there were two police officers in there. They locked them up and they lit the police on fire. They almost burnt two police officers. There was a taxi driver that drove into Christopher Street and they came and they raged at his car and they rocked it back and forth. Eventually he made it out, but he died that day from a heart attack later that afternoon. What is this? Rebellion, transgression, vandalism, violence. Immediately after this, by a few years, the medical board in America decided to remove homosexuality as a mental disorder. It was removed from the books. It's no longer diagnosed as a sickness and as a disease. And slowly, slowly, it became a right of theirs. And they had these rights. And even here in Australia in 2013, they were given the right to marry each other and so on. You see what happened? What happened? SubhanAllah. I said to you, we're the law-abiding citizens. We didn't do any vandalism. We didn't do any corruption. How did these people come about? And they are celebrating every June. They call it Pride March. What's proud about rebellion and transgression? You traumatized two police officers. No one held anyone to account. They killed that man. No one held anyone to account. Allah Azza wa Jalla records in the Quran, when Lut alayhi salam faced his people, that's the exact same quality he said about them. He said to them, "Bal antum qawmun adun." You lot, you qawm Lut, you lot are transgressors. You rebel, adun. What changed? It is the exact same attitude of qawm Lut that these people had. They only got their right after vandalism, violence, destruction, transgression, rebellion, damage. This is how they got their rights. So why are we made to feel that we're the ones out of the equation and we're the ones that are backwards? And then when they're allowed to celebrate every year in June, what are you teaching society? Are you teaching society that anyone who feels like he's got a right, go and break and destroy and vandalize and you'll get your right? This is what you're setting. This is the kind of precedent you're setting for communities and society. When you allow these people to march and be happy for what they are. Tomorrow, the pedophiles will do the same thing. They'll go break and whatever, and they'll do damage and destroy like the LGBT people. And eventually they'll get rights. We've been law-abiding citizens. We haven't destroyed anything. We haven't vandalized anything. We're moving naturally with what Allah Azza wa Jalla has taught mankind. What have we done? So why are we afraid to talk? Why are we afraid to face this kind of rebellion? Uqsimu billah wa wallahi. If you jump onto websites and into history books, they call this event Stonewall Rebellion. That's the word they use. They call that incident in 1969, they call it Stonewall Rebellion. They know they went against the law. They broke the laws. And they're celebrating them breaking the law. How do we support this? How does the world and governments around the world support it? How do prime ministers walk with these people? How? How wrong is this? Then we need to equip ourselves with this kind of knowledge so that we know how we're going to respond, right? And the other matter I bring to your attention is that people are worried. They're afraid, right? With their kids. What do we do with them? I tell you something, my brothers and sisters in Islam. Don't worry. That's the first thing. Allah Azza wa Jalla says, when Lut alayhi salam was afraid, the angels were with him in the house. They said to him, لَنْ يَصِلُوا إِلَيْكَ. They won't reach you. Don't worry. This is angels comforting Lut alayhi salam. We're going to use the same words with our community. I tell you, لَنْ يَصِلُوا إِلَيْكَ بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ. They will not reach you. Their propaganda, their agenda, their evil planning and plotting, you and your children, they won't reach you. Relax. Relax. But there is something you need to understand. What do you need to hold on to in order to have this protection from Allah Azza wa Jalla? I teach you something. You know, Allah, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, كُلُّكُمْ رَاعٍ وَكُلُّكُمْ مَسْئُولٌ عَنْ رَعِيَّتِهِ. All of you are shepherds and you're all responsible for your flock. And the father is a shepherd and he is responsible for his flock, his children, his wife. And the mother is a shepherd in her husband's house and she is responsible for his children. Okay, so Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam described the father and the mother as a shepherd. What's a shepherd? You know what a shepherd is? A shepherd is a man who stands on a farm, protects his sheep. If wolves, fox is coming, he pushes it away. He keeps it away. As a shepherd, that means attack will come towards your children and yourself. And the primary role of a shepherd is to protect. This is the primary role of a shepherd, is to protect. So now this evil is coming into your home and people are worried, what do we do? There's protests, should we attend the protest? What's the protest going to do? It's going to do nothing. We need to sign petitions. What's a petition going to do? Heather, this is not a prophetic solution. Scream all you want, shout all you want, protest the entire day and the night, sign petition after petition, it's going to do nothing. You will not protect your family like this. The shepherd can only protect his sheep if he's there. If he decides to leave his sheep and go to the city to protest against the fox is going to eat them all and damage them all. That's not a solution. You go back to your house, go inside and start teaching. Because if you're worried that your children are being attacked and they're being bombarded by this propaganda and filth, then your job is to sit, son, come here. I need to teach you. 1, 2, 3 is wrong. Allah Azza wa Jal has set life this way. This is what the truth is. This is what falsehood is. First and foremost, you need knowledge. You need to know how to counteract this matter with knowledge. Not down in a park, screaming and shouting. That's not going to do nothing. Well, it's not even going to affect the LGBT community. In fact, it's going to strengthen them. Because then they can come to the governments and present, hey, look how people aren't accepting us. Look at the violence of people against. These people grow from behind our violence. They grow from behind our insult and abuse. That's how they grow. This is how they grow. You need to go and teach your children the truth. Look at Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what he did with Ibn Abbas. You know Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, he said, Kuntu ghulaman, I was a boy. Ghulam meaning 7-8 year old maximum, 9 max. Then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Ya ghulam, inni u'allimuka kalimat. Boy, I want to teach you a few words. Let's see what he's teaching him. He said to him, احفظي الله يحفظك. Safeguard Allah's commands. Adhere to Allah's commands and Allah will protect you. إذا سألت فاسأل الله. If you ever ask, ask Allah alone. وإذا استعنت فاستعن بالله. And if you ever seek help, seek it from Allah. Listen to what he said. This is an 8-year-old boy. Listen to what he said to him. وعلم أن الأمة لو اجتمعت على أن ينفعوك بشيء لم ينفعوك إلا بشيء قد كتبه الله لك. You better know, boy, if the entire ummah, if the entire world was to harm you with something, they will not be able to harm you except with that which Allah has written for you. And if they all wanted to benefit you with something, they are not able to benefit you except with something that Allah Azza wa Jalla has written for you. I ask you a question. This is an 8-year-old boy. Why is he telling him, if the world gathered on you, who's going to gather on a boy? 8-year-old boy, who's interested in him? But now we see the reality of this hadith. This community now is interested with these children. Wallahi, wallah, if you sat with a boy and you spoke to him like that, people would say, what are you doing? Why are you scaring the boy? Why are you telling this 8-year-old innocent heart, isn't it innocent kid? Why are you telling him if the ummah was going to attack him and come towards him? Listen, look at how weak aqidah. Look how weak it has become. We're afraid. Don't speak to the kids like that. Why? Didn't Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam speak to Ibn Abbas like this? An 8-year-old boy, 9-year-old boy. This is what we should be doing. Strengthen the belief in your children's heart. From 7 years old. Say, come. There's filth in this world. There's evil plots and agendas. And you tell me, oh my boy, احفظ الله. If you are to safeguard Allah's commands, you've got to teach him because he doesn't know. Have mercy in your heart towards your children. They don't know their deen. They are relying upon Allah first and foremost, then you to teach them. Teach them Allah's commands and instantly after that, يحفظك. He'll protect you. Even if you are in the midst of dirt and filth. Like Lut alayhi salam, one man upon the truth among thousands and thousands of people that are doing shameless acts. He had value in the sight of Allah. Allah made sure he came out before he destroyed them. It can be done. It's not impossible. But you got to know the right direction. You come to your children, you teach them al-Islam, the correct Islam. You teach them that no matter what happens, no one can harm you. Don't come back home full afraid and then spew this fear of yours onto your children and your family and make them all scared. What did you benefit in that regard? Khalas, and then after that, tawakkal ala Allah. And then Allah Azza wa Jal's aid and support will be descended upon that family bi-ithnillah. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. بسم الله الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده وبعد هذا وصلوا وسلموا رحمكم الله على خير البرية وأزكى البشرية محمد بن عبد الله صاحب الحوض والشفاعة فقد أمركم الله تعالى بأمر بدأ فيه بنفسه وثنى بملائكته المسبحة بقدسه وأيها بكم أيها المؤمنون فقال عز من قائل إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم أرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم عباد الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون فاذكروا الله العظيم الجليل يذكركم واشكروه على نعمه يزدكم ولذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون